Okay, we're on page 1092. Okay, Pasuk Tezvav, Pasuk 15, 6 lines in the top of the page. Okay, last time we were learning that when a person listens to Hashem, that's very close and easy. We explained this whole thing. Torah is not in the heavens. Torah is not overseas. It's very easy and close for a person to keep Torah mitzvahs, thought, speech, and action. We learned because the mind controls the heart. Once you got in your mind what's right, then even though the heart wants to do what's wrong, but you have the ability not to listen to it because the mind, by nature of a person, the mind controls the heart. Okay, so now we're starting like this. The pasuk says, "Re'ei, you should see." Nasati lefanecha hayim. God says like this: I'm putting before you today, as a chayim vesatev, life and good; as a maves vesera, death and evil. In other words, God says, I'm putting in front of you two things. I'm putting you life and good, and death and evil. And if you notice, the commentaries say, the pasuk doesn't say, I'm putting before you life and death, good and bad. He's saying, I'm putting before you life and good, and evil, and death and evil. Which is, by the way, which is basically synonymous with this. What does this mean? People have a question, what is life? It's a very interesting question. What is life? What does it mean when a person's alive? Many people think they're having a good time, they're enjoying life. That's the definition of being alive. You know, I'm having, really enjoying myself. It's interesting because the Gemara says, a rasha, a wicked person, even when he's alive, he's dead. And a tzaddik, even when he's dead, he's alive. And the reason for that is very simple. We learned last time, as we say when we take out the Torah, Va'atem advekem b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kol chamayim. You are connected to God, and we'll see the word dveikus soon coming up. Va'atem advekem b'Hashem Elokeichem. You are clinging to God, chayim kol chamayim. So you're all alive. The Torah says clearly like this: something which is temporary is not real. There's a law in the Beis Hamikdash. When they needed natural living water, it was called Mayim Chaim, natural wellspring water. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says the law is that a river that dries up once in 7 years is not kosher to use even for the 6 years that it's still flowing. But if it dries up once in 7 years, you can't even use it for the other 6 years. Why? The fact that it's not permanently flowing shows it's not real, because truth is eternity. Right? Truth is something, sometimes true is not true. If it's true, it always has to be true, in every place and in every time. Something which is sometimes true and sometimes not true, so even when it's true, it's not really true. So, something, the Gemara says, something that flows for 6 years, and after 6 years stops flowing, that shows even during the 6 years it flowed, it wasn't real. The life of a person in the body is 70 years, 80 years, 120 years. There was a time we didn't exist, we weren't born, and there's a time we die. The fact that there's a time that we don't exist, and a time that we don't exist, we didn't exist, and we don't exist, that shows that even the physical life of a person, the physical life of the person, even when they're alive, is not real living. Because there was a time you weren't, and there was a time you won't be. The soul of the person, the neshama of the person, that always was, is, and will be. That the soul doesn't die. The neshama is always there, it's in paradise, in Gan Eden, and then the neshama comes into the body. But the neshama itself doesn't die. So the real life, by the way, in the world, is only God. God always was, is, and will be. The world is 5,777 years old. So 5,778 years ago, the world didn't exist. And eventually, the world won't exist. That means even the 6,000 years, like the rivers, the 6 years, 6,000 years, it's still not a real existence. the only real existence is God, because God always was, is, and will be. So therefore, the Talmud says when a person connects themselves to God, connect to God, so then you're connected to life, because God is the eternal life. So then you're really alive. That's called real life. Now you have this, so when a person is not interested in God, like the wicked people, they're only interested in their own personal life, their good time. So then the din is, even while they're alive, it's not really alive. It's not alive because eventually that good time wasn't and isn't. So the only, and therefore the Gemara says, a Rasha, even when he's alive, is dead because he's disconnected from real life, which is God. A Tzaddik, whose life is the spiritual soul, so that no matter when it was, you know, the whole time he's connected to God, even when he's dead, physically dead. Now he's physically dead, he's alive, but he's even more alive, the Zohar says, and that's what brings us down to Tanya. What?
No more pizza.
You can cut, you don't want to go make tambourines? I brought a book for you to fix, by the way.
You want to sit on the stage? Chair if you want.
How well do you know me?
There's a chair here.
No,
sit over here.
No, I'm fine here.
You're not going to bite.
No, I'm fine out here. Thank you.
Okay. Not only that, but the soul, because when a person's alive, 1092, when a person is the soul's in the body, the soul is limited by the body. The soul has to eat and drink and sleep and rest, right? It can't be in two places at the same time. The soul can only be in one place at one time, when it's alive. Now, when the person passes away, then the soul is not restricted anymore. The soul could be all over the place. So therefore, the Zohar says, a tzaddik, when they're dead, they're more alive than when they're alive, because they're not restricted anymore because of the body. They don't have to eat and sleep. They don't have to be only in one place. There's a whole story that, the Gemara tells a story that, the Zohar tells a story. Eliyahu Navi, there was a Kabbalistic yeshiva in the mountains of Tzfas. It was called the Idra. There was Idra Rabba, means the big yeshiva, and there was Idra Zuta, the small yeshiva. And there was Rab Shimba Yochai's yeshiva for the Kabbalists in the city of Tzfas, outside of Tzfas. And the prophet Eliyahu Navi used to come to the yeshiva every day. One day, Eliyahu Navi didn't show up. He didn't come. So the next day they asked him, where were you yesterday? I didn't communicate, obviously, I don't know how, but whatever. So he said, this sage, Rav Amnuna Sava, the old Rav Amnuna, was in danger. I had to save him. I had to be in a body somewhere, so therefore I can't be in two places at the same time. This is what Eliyahu Navi answered the guys in the yeshiva. So the obvious question is, Eliyahu Navi comes to have his circumcision. Eliyahu Navi comes to have his seder. What do you mean he can't be two places at the same time? He could be all over the place. Eliyahu Navi is a malach. He could be anywhere. So why couldn't he come to the yeshiva? So Chassidus answers, because to save Rav Hamnuna, he had to dress himself into a body. And once he dresses himself into the body, even though he's the prophet Elijah, Eliyahu Navi, he's still restricted. He can't be in two places at the same time. This said he comes to every bris. He comes to every seder because he's not in a body. So he can be as a soul in a malach. He could be everywhere. And this is the difference between a tzaddik and the contrary. Not only is he as alive when he's dead, but he's more alive because his soul, which is the primary life of the tzaddik, is not restricted anymore by the body or anywhere. He could be everywhere. He's more, the Zohar says, Yatim ibachayai. He's more alive than when he's alive. A Rosh, on the other hand, who's only interested in the physical, because the physical is temporary anyway, so the bottom line is, even when they're alive, they're dead. And that's what the Pasuk's saying over here. That's what the Pasuk starting off by saying, right? Pasuk Tezvav. You should see, I'm giving you today, life and good, which, by the way, what?
Chaim.
Oh, yeah, Chaim. And good. That means Chaim. Oh, Chaim, Chaim. Two K in them here, Chaims. Yeah, that's a mother, sasura, and death and evil.
When is your birthday?
Okay, well, let's stop. Okay. So now the question is, the commentators ask you this. Why doesn't the Torah say, I'm giving you today life and death, good and bad? It's a funny expression. The Torah says, look, I'm giving you life and good, death and bad. It should say, look, I'm giving you life and death, good and bad. Because it says sometimes by a tzaddik, in the initial part of his life, the tzaddik actually suffers a little bit. Because the Talmud says, every person does good, every person does bad. God punishes you for the bad, and he rewards you for the good. Every person has good, and, on their level, good and bad. For the good you're rewarded, for the bad you're punished. So tzaddikim, whose primary life is the world to come, spirituality, so God punished them for their evil or for their lacking in this world. Then in the world to come, they have a beautiful clean slate and they have the total level in the world to come. The wicked people, whose primary life is this world, so God sometimes rewards them in this world for the good they do, and then in the world to come they get nothing but hell. They go to Gehenna because their merits were used up by the rewards that they have in the life. So it says sometimes the tzaddik suffers a little bit. Sometimes, therefore, he says like this. Hashem says, by a tzaddik, sometimes you suffer, but the end is good. Sometimes a rasha, the beginning is good, but the end he suffers. So therefore the Torah says like this. I'm giving you all these things, and then the Torah says like this. Asher anechi mitzavcha hayayim. Okay, by way, in other places, the Torah says the expression, ubacharta bachayim. You should choose, well, the Torah is going to say it later on also, soon. You should choose life. So the obvious question is, which moron is going to choose death? I mean, a person who commits suicide is, oh. Is something wrong with them. Mentally, something's wrong with them.
Tell me about it.
So therefore, the Torah is teaching us like this. Which moron, so to speak, is going to pick death? I know. So the answer is, again, life and death is not the only way we translate life and death. The Talmud says, when a person does a sin, that's spiritual death. You're cutting yourself off from God. Like we just said before, you cling to God, you're alive. You separate yourself from God, so you're dead. So the Torah says, choose life. The Torah is not telling us, yeah, choose life and don't commit suicide. What the Torah is saying, what I'm calling life, the connection to God, is what you need to choose. And that a lot of people don't choose. And therefore the Torah says, ubacharta bachayim, the Rebbe explains two things. Number one, the Torah says you should choose life, meaning choose to do good over bad. And secondly, which is even more remarkable, the fact that Hashem says choose life, that itself is giving us the ability to choose life, to choose good over bad.
What if you have a strong Yetzer Hara to bring
up? Then you have a stronger Yetzer Tov to overcome the Yetzer Hara.
Why can't I access this Yetzer
Hara? I'll tell you later what you need to do. It's a little bit expensive, but I'll tell you what to do. Okay. Asher anechi mitzavcha hayem, that I'm commanding you today. What am I commanding you?
Well, you gave him your idea?
Lava, he gave it to me. Lava seshem alokecha. What am I giving you today? What am I commanding you today? I'm commanding you today, la'avas Hashem alokecha, to love God, la'leches bedrochav, to go in His ways, v'lishma mitzvesev v'chukesev v'mishpatev. Okay, so the Gemara explains, what do you mean go in His ways? How do you go in the ways of God? What does it mean, going in the ways of God? So the Gemara says, very simple. You emulate God. Just say God feeds the sick, feeds the poor, you feed the poor. God heals the sick, you heal the sick. God gave clothing to Adam and Chava when they realized they weren't wearing clothing. Somebody died. God came to pay a shiva call. He after Avram passed away, God came to do condolences to Yitzchak. Avram Avinu was sick. God came to visit him. In fact, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Lechus b'drachav. You have a mitzvah to follow God. Just say God does good things, you need to do good things. The Talmud says, just say God clothes the people that didn't have clothes, give clothing to people that need it. God feeds the hungry, you feed the hungry.
Orphan, the widow.
Everybody. But everybody. Not only, God did it to Adam and Chava. They weren't, widows and they weren't orphans and they weren't poor.
They didn't have mother-in-law.
That's why they lived long. Okay, so it says like this. La'ava says Shem Elokecha, because, and it's interesting, somebody you love, this is psychologically also, somebody you love, you like to copy. Somebody you love, you like to copy. So the Pasuk says, but I'm commanding you to love Hashem, lo'leches b'drochav, to go in His ways. Because if you really love God, then you want to copy Him. And what do you want to do? Lishmar mitzvesev v'chukesev u'mishpatav, to keep His mitzvahs, His chukim and mishpatim, which are the three different types of mitzvahs that God gives to a person. V'chayisa v'ravisa, and you will live, and you will multiply. And I'll explain in a second what that means. U'verachacha Hashem alakech, and God will bless you. Ba'aretz ha'ashata v'asham alirish, in the land you're going to come to, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Torah says like this. One of the all... the kids say this in the Mar Mitzvah, but it's a Medrash, it's a Gemara. We say in Davening from Tillim, Magid Dvarov LeYaakov, God tells His words to the Jews, Chukov, His illogical mitzvahs, Mishpatov, His logical mitzvahs. Okay, God gives them to us. So the Talmud says, any mitzvah God gives us to do, He also does himself. Talmud says, we put on tefillin, God puts on tefillin. We do this mitzvah, God does this mitzvah. So therefore, if Hashem is doing the mitzvahs, and by the way, He gives us His mitzvahs, that means God puts on tefillin, and therefore we have to put on tefillin. And by us putting on tefillin, we cause God to put on tefillin. It's like a catch-22 situation. So what happens by copying Hashem, meaning if Hashem puts on tefillin, Hashem feeds the sick, feeds the hungry, and heals the sick. So by us doing it, we are doing what He does. And when we do what Hashem does, we actually become one with Him. Can't hold on to Him. It says in the Gemara, Ludovka, but you have to cling to Him. The Gemara says you can't cling to God. God is a fire. You can't cling to God.
God is a light.
But God said, the Pasuk says in Torah, God is a consuming fire. Sure. So the Gemara says what it means is, clinging to God doesn't mean cling to scholars. And there's learn from them, hang around them, let some of the dust rub off on you.
Different scholars have different views.
We're talking about the Torah view.
Yes.
What else are we learning?
Partners in creation we become.
Partners in creation. When we do God's mitzvahs, and that's like we learn many times, God created an unfinished world.
Correct.
Our mission is to finish God's world.
Correct.
When we do finish God's world, then we become His partner in creation.
Correct.
God created a physical world. Our job is to make the physical world holy.
Correct.
So that's what we need to do.
Have we reached that goal yet?
Every time you do a mitzvah, you do that. You reach that goal. The problem is you need to have more, be closer, 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 closer. Every mitzvah we do brings us closer. Every sin we do, God forbid, makes us further. So we have to do mitzvahs. And then, but it says over here, the interesting thing, it says like this. All these blessings, by the way, is what it says for kids, and health. It says, the chayisa, you will be alive, meaning you'll be healthy. But avisa also means you will multiply, meaning you'll have kids.
What if you don't have kids?
You can have spiritual children. if you teach somebody Torah, Gemara says, whoever teaches somebody Torah is like they gave birth to them. There was a couple, there's a famous story with the Baal Shem Tov, very famous story. There's a couple that didn't have children for many, many years. Came to the Baal Shem Tov, and obviously was destined to have, and they shouldn't have kids. So after many years of begging the Baal Shem Tov to get a bracha for children, Baal Shem Tov said to them, let's go on a trip. Okay, so the husband went on a trip. He came to a city, okay, and the Baal Shem Tov, there were a whole bunch of kids. So Baal Shem Tov stopped one of the boys and he says, what's your name? I remember, whatever. Let's say Avram, Yitzchak, whatever.
Baruch.
Baruch Leia, Baruch Leia, whatever. Okay? So the kid said, my name is Baruch. And he stopped another kid in the street, what's your name? Baruch. Another boy in the street, what's your name? Avram Baruch, Baruch Yitzchak, or whatever. Everybody had a Baruch. And he stopped all the girls were Bracha. Every girl had a name Bracha. So the Baal Shem Tov finally stopped an older gentleman in the city, and he said, why do all these kids have the same name? So he explained to them there was an older couple that didn't have any children, never had children, and when they died, they left over all their money for all the kids in the city to be educated, right, and to learn Torah and to be taken care of. So everybody named their kids after those people.
Oh, that's—
so, you know, so they didn't have their own physical children,
correct,
but they had all of these children,
correct,
were theirs.
Correct.
And the same thing, the Baal Shem Tov told them, you know, set aside money to, you know, for children and for families. And eventually they had a lot of names after them. Understand? So, Vishinantam Levanecha, we say in Shema, teach your children. The Gemara says, Eila Talmidim, it refers to the children. So, the students are called children. So that's what a person has to have. They're spiritual children, physical children, you know, raising children, helping raising children. So it sounds like this. I'm commanding you today to love God, to follow in His footsteps, and then you will live, you will multiply. And God will bless you in the land which I'm coming to that you should inherit. Okay? I'm just looking if there's one of those chumash in here. No good.
Which chumash?
No good. No, go down and get it. There was something interesting. Okay, forget it.
There's a nudnik here, would it work?
No, not a nudnik. Where? No, it's not there. Okay, doesn't matter. Oh, what happens though if your heart will turn away? It's okay, leave it. V'lei sishma, and you will not listen to God. V'nidachta, and you get pushed away, you're led astray. V'yishtachavisa lelekim acherim, and you will bow to other gods. V'avadatam, and you will worship them. Pasuk 18.
Got it. 17.
We just did 17. Okay? So he says, what happens if your heart will stray? You won't listen. You will be led astray. You'll start bowing to other gods. I mean, and that's interesting. The English, he says, gods of others. Not other gods. There's no other gods but Hashem. And you will serve them. Okay? So this is what the person would think. So he says, Higadati ayem l'Hashem elokech. Higadati l'chem ayem. Hashem says to them, listen, I'm telling you. Ki ovei teveidun, you're going to be lost. What's the double expression? You will be lost, lost in this world, and lost in the world to come. You'll have both missing. And that's the double expression. Aved teveidum, lost you will be lost, in this world and in the other world.
So you mean to say, excuse me, Hashem is present what? Everywhere. You mean to say these ists who live in the mountains and they're lost in this world? Is that what you're referring
yeah,
to?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are lost.
No, I'm talking about those isms, which I don't want to refer to here. But they are very connected to Elohim. And they are very at peace with themselves in this world. In the afterlife, are they going to be lost in the afterlife as well, even though they don't...
They might be lost now, even though they might not think so.
Alright. What is lost now?
That's the question. What is lost?
Yeah, what is lost?
What does found mean? Lost and found.
That's what we learn, isn't it?
Lost is when a person doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what life is all about. Huh? People that are guided by Torah know where they're going. Torah guides.
It's not for us to decide where we're going.
Right? Yeah, yes it is. God, in fact, that's what it says. He quotes if the Gemara over here, what Rashi says in a different place. From the day God made this declaration that I'm giving you good and bad, goodness and evil do not emanate from his mouth. Rather, evil comes of its own accord to one who does evil, and good comes to one who does good. In other words, Rabbi Yechon is saying in the Gemara, when God said, I am giving you today life and death, good and bad.
Correct.
What God is basically saying, whether good or bad is done in the world is completely up to you.
Well, how about that book written by, why do bad things happen to good people? He's kind of, I thought, saying in that book that it's...
Yeah, that book is wrong from A to Z.
Oh, it is. It's written by Achpadnik.
No, he wasn't.
I thought he was.
No. He came to the Rebbe once, I think.
Oh, wait, who
Kushner.
This guy from Minnesota.
No.
All right, I got the books mixed up.
The book was written, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? The Chabad response to, the Torah response to that is, bad things don't happen to good people. Because whatever God does is good.
True.
We might perceive it to be bad, we might think it's bad, we might, whatever it is. But the bottom line is, since, and this is what Rabbi Yechon says in the Gemara, when God said this pasuk, look, I am giving over good and bad to you guys. That means, whether something is bad and good is completely up to us.
But there's a mixture.
Consequences, like I think we discussed this last week, remember? Consequences is an offshoot of your action. When you do good, the consequence, not the consequence, the negative way, in a positive way, is you'll get good. When you do bad, you will get punished. It has not, God says, parents are supposed to tell this to the children. No, not. We were discussing last week. The proper way of raising kids is not by reward and punishment. It's by consequences, truth or consequences. In other words, like we gave the example last week, a kid doesn't clean up the toys. Okay? So the parent doesn't say to the kid, proper education, I'm punishing you because you didn't put away the toys. I'm punishing you that I'm going to take them away. Because then the parent is the punisher. Right? That's not the way it works. The Torah education tells the kid, I'm not punishing you. When you don't put away your toys, you are punishing yourself that you can't have the toys anymore. It's nothing to do with me. The kid has the choice to do good, put away the toys, or not put away the toys. He'll put away the toys, he'll be able to play with them next time. He won't put away the toys, he won't be able to play with them. It's not the parent rewarding and punishing, it's the kid himself rewarding or punishing himself. And that's what Rabbi Yechon says in the Gemara. When God said this pasuk, I'm giving you good and bad, meaning it's up to you, good and bad is not coming from me anymore. It's up to you. Do good, you're automatically going to get good. You do bad, you're automatically going
to
get bad.
It's hard for an adult to understand, let alone a child.
Well, kids understand bad, better than the adults, by the way.
What does bad mean?
Bad means something that God tells us not to do.
Within this world, we're going to receive bad, or is it...
Sometimes God punishes us in this world. Sometimes God punishes us in the world to come. It's up to God, whatever he wants.
You don't necessarily get a smack when it happens. Just remember that.
Because we come say, because he's slow to anger. I mean,
God forgives if we ask forgiveness and we make up our mind that we're not doing it again.
What if these things are brought by Hashem himself?
No, they're not. There are challenges that God gives us to overcome.
All right. What if we cannot overcome such challenges?
That's because we don't want to. That's what God's saying. He's soon going to say, "Obachai to bachaim." You have the ability to choose good over bad. Now, I want to make one thing clear. The only one that could define ultimate good and bad is only Hashem. No! People cannot define good and bad, right and wrong. In Hitler's mind, it was right to kill Jews. In Osama bin Laden, it was a mitzvah to kill Jews. In all these anti-Semites that want to kill Jews, in their mind, it's right, it's a mitzvah to kill minorities, to kill Jews, whatever it is. In their mind, it's right. Now, they're just as smart as me and you.
Not me, I'm not
smart. Okay, they're just as smart as you and I. And therefore, what makes them wrong and me right? Maybe they're right and we're wrong.
Correct.
The answer is, because right and wrong is not defined by humans.
Correct.
Because what was wrong in the 50s,
may not be
today is 100% legal.
Correct.
Legitimate.
Correct.
Mitzvah even.
Correct.
It was immoral in the 50s, today is a mitzvah.
Yeah, but that's decided by humans.
That's what I'm saying. So, as we mentioned all the way at the beginning, if it's not eternal, if it's sometimes good and sometimes bad, then it was never good. The definition of good is something which is always good for the last 5,777 years. It's good. And if it's bad, it's bad for 5,777 years. And if it's good for part of the time and bad part of the time, then it's not emes. It's not real. The only one that could decide ultimate, and therefore, by the way, as the Rebbe pointed out many times, the Constitution, let's say, of the United States, was written by the people for the people.
Correct.
Because it was written by people for people, you can amend the Constitution. Right?
Correct.
Before, women were not allowed to vote, and that, well, I don't say better or worse, but now they can vote. They, you know, there's a lot of amendments to the Constitution.
Because it's written by men.
Because it's written by men. So in the 50s, maybe it was good they shouldn't vote, but in the 60s, it's good that they should vote. Or similar things. And
some
all,
people say that the Constitution was
divinely inspired. But if it was divinely inspired, then you couldn't amend it. Truth cannot be amended. The Rebbe once told somebody in Yechidus, you have to explain to the Reform, you know, by us, Jews are Jews, there's no difference. But the word Reform movement, the word Reform means to change. The actual word that changing religion, changing Judaism, is cannot be correct, because if religion comes from God, it can't be reformed, because God is the ultimate good. And the ultimate good. So therefore, to define, by the way, what's good and bad is only and can only ultimate good and bad. Not humanly good and bad, sometimes like this, or I think this way or that way. What God decides is good, meaning Torah, which is tells us the good things in life, I'm giving you good, that's ultimate good. What God says is bad is ultimate bad.
There are seven lights in the candelabra, which represent the seven different types of Jews.
Correct.
I believe that one cannot sit here and say just because someone is a Reformed Jew, then they're not a Jew.
I said we don't classify Jews.
What?
I didn't say that.
All right.
Chabad will never say, if they don't convert according to Halacha, Chabad will say they're not a Jew because they didn't do it right. But nobody's going to say a Reformed Jew is any less Jewish than Moshe.
Correct.
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Has God ever changed his mind?
No.
As you know, saying like, you know, this is right. You know what? Now I think about it, I'm wrong. No, seriously.
Okay. At the beginning of Chumash, God says, right before the flood, God says, you know, I regret that I made people. Okay, right? God said, you get that I made people.
Yeah.
And then after
Noah. So that means he was wrong.
No.
What do you mean?
It sounds like this. So Rashi brings down at the beginning of Chumash
that
this non-Jew asked one of the rabbis, I understand God changed his mind. He didn't know what was going on. You know, God regretted. How can God regret? He said, let me ask you a question. You gave birth to a child? Yeah. What did you do when you was born? I rejoiced. The kid's going to die one day? Yeah. What are you going to do then? You're going to be sad. So therefore, you shouldn't be happy when you were happy and sad when you're sad. God said, when I created the world, they were good. I was hoping they would stay good. God knew that it was going to happen.
God knew everything.
Right.
He knows from the beginning to the end. So why would he ever say, I regret?
Well, hold on. If going back to that, then how can he be angry at the Jews for the golden calf if he knew that was going to happen?
He made it happen.
So in fact, that's what the Tetzel wanted to get to Kutna Chumash. Over there, he brings down from the Rebbe a very interesting concept. How, if God knows what we're going to do, how do we have free choice? And in fact, the Pasuk soon going to say, Ubachar to Bachayim. You have to choose Chayim. Not you. Not him. You have to choose life. Yeah? Now, if God knows what we're going to do, how do we have free choice? Okay, so the Rambam writes is a very difficult question. Okay? The Rambam writes is a very difficult question. But the Rebbe in that letter, they bring down the Gutnik Chumash, it says 2 points, which are very important. You have a fortune teller. Okay, a fortune teller is going to tell you, a stargazer, okay? Astrologers. Is going to tell you what's going to happen. But their knowing what's going to happen is not forcing you to do it. Like, for instance, I know that tonight, after the class, everybody's going home. Eventually, right? The fact I know you're going home is not forcing you to go home. I just happen to know, logically, everybody's going to end up in the house. So I know you're going home. Am I forcing you to go home because I know it? No. God knows the future, but he's not forcing us to pick. It's just that God knows what we will be picking. Okay? That's number one. Then the Rebbe adds another deeper concept. Because by God, past, present, and future is simultaneous, right? Just like what I know today about your past didn't make it happen. By God, when he knows of the future, is not making it happen because past, present, and future simultaneously. And that's why Hashem says you have to pick life, you have to pick good, even though I know what you're going to be picking, but you have the free choice to do it or not to do it. I'm not forcing you. I just know what you're going to do.
Regarding stargazers, we're able to change our mazel.
Because that takes it a step further. A Jew could change the mazel. So even like Rabbi Kiva's daughter was supposed to die on a wedding day, right? The stargazer told, she changed it by giving tzedakah. She changed the mazel and she didn't die on the wedding day.
So how do you change your mazel?
Tzedakah.
What's that?
Say? Good deeds. Good deeds.
No, it's no secret. Good deeds.
Good deeds.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm looking at Chaim, life.
Hi, smarty pants.
Okay, but what happens if a person turns astray from Hashem?
That's for sure.
Then, he said, you're going to be destroyed. Over Tavei, the Pasuk 18, yeah? He got it to Lachem, I'm telling you today. That you're going to be lost. And by the way, you know, the worst thing in life is when you're lost. There's a very interesting, it's not a Gemara, but there's an expression in our sages. Ein simcha kataras hasfekes. There's no greater joy than when doubts are solved. The biggest commotion is, if you don't have Waze, okay, you know, and you're traveling somewhere, and you don't know if you're going in the right direction or the wrong direction, it's very painful. If somebody steers you in the right direction, it could be 1,000 miles away, but at least you're heading in the right direction, you know you're going in the right path, you already feel much better. The Gemara says there's no greater joy than when doubts are solved. That's what Torah is all about. When a person knows, yeah, there's a lot to do in mitzvahs, and we're not there yet, and we're far from where we should be. But the fact I know where to go, but the Torah says, if you turn away, then the Torah says, you're going to be lost. You're going to be lost. And the worst thing in life is to be lost.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
All of those Siddiqui that they suffer? Is it our sin? They are carrying our sin, our avera, or what is that?
It says in Yeshaya, the guy misinterpreted this pasuk completely. But yeah, there are certain tzaddikim that suffered because they were the leaders of the generation. Just like when you have a pain in the foot, the head feels it.
That's what the Christians feel like.
But they got everything from us, by the way. We were first. You know, our moms became their God.
Right.
Okay, so we were there first. They got it from us.
I wrote that on Facebook.
Just don't quote me, please.
So all of their guilt is actually Jewish guilt.
Jewish guilt.
Yeah.
So tzaddikim sometimes suffer for this. Listen, the Rebbe brings down in his first maimer. Somebody once came into the Mittel Rebbe. He rolled up his sleeve. His hand was completely eaten up. And he said, this is from your youthful sins. There are tzaddikim that suffer. Okay, because of the sins of the generation. Because they're the head of the generation. And therefore they're responsible for the generation. And therefore they feel the pain. Okay? Sometimes, tzaddikim, like we said, as the pasuk says, there's nobody perfect. So sometimes, on a tzaddik's great level, if he's not 100% perfect, he's only 99.99% perfect, he will suffer in this world, that in the world to come he has mamish bliss.
Who would you consider tzaddikim that are alive now?
Rabbi Shusterman.
I thought a normal person can be a tzaddik.
We'll talk about it.
Don't worry about it. Let's keep going.
Okay,
Vaita. Someone that likes Teddy.
But the more you're closer to Hashem, the more he's going to judge you.
Yep. Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
What do you mean, the more he's going to judge you?
The Gemara says, listen, okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to me.
So why find direction in the Torah?
Hey, guys. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gemara says,
you opened up that.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik b'tzadikim kechut asayda. God is particular with tzadikim, like the width of a hair. Okay? To give a simple analogy. If you're painting your house, and you're putting on old junky clothing, and you get some dirt spots on it, you don't even notice it. You get dressed up to go to a wedding, and you took a suit just out of the cleaners, and a tiny piece of lint is very noticeable.
Correct.
Why? Because the cleaner the garment, the smaller the speck is also very noticeable. A person who is super clean, i.e. a tzaddik, who's super clean, any tiny lint, not dirt, lint, on their level is extremely noticeable by God.
How does he know what level he's on?
God knows, that's what I'm saying.
How do we know?
We don't know.
So how would he judge us if we don't know that we are that person?
We don't know what level. We know what I should be doing and what I'm doing. That everybody knows. If they're a mature human being, if they're a mature human being, and they understand that what my mission in life is, and I'm not accomplishing that mission, then we all know it. We're not fools. We know our faults. We know our greatnesses. We need to know both. And Chassidus demands, the same way you need to know your faults, you need to know your uniquenesses, your greatness. Because if God bless somebody with a greatness, and they don't use it, they're wasting something God created. So you have to know your greatness, you have to know your weakness. The weaknesses we need to fix, and the greatness we need to utilize. So the definition of good and bad, on every person's level. Now obviously, a person that is more evolved in Yiddishkeit, more is demanded from them, than a person who's just beginning in Yiddishkeit. That doesn't mean that they're both not obligated in the same Torah and mitzvahs.
But Hashem loves the Benoni more than he loves the Tzaddik.
In a certain respect. But the Benoni also is a perfect Jew and never sins. Not in thought, not in feet, not in action.
But you said the initial thought is not placed in your head yourself, so how could it be you blame you blame for a thought that doesn't...
It depends. The thought, initial thought that comes into the head, you're not blamed for.
So why would you say that?
If then? You're invited in for coffee and Thai restaurant, so then it's called sinful.
What if you never learn how to fight this entity?
There's no problem learning how to fight.
Go ahead.
You do something good, automatically the bad thought... You think a good thought, the bad thought automatically disappears. When you want to do something bad, you do something good. So automatically it disappears. Okay, so the Torah says like this. So Yisarich and Yomim Nalo Adama, you will not live long on the earth. Okay? Achata Ever Seyadin, in the land that you're going to cross the Jordan River, Love Shama Larishta, where you're coming to inherit. And the reason for this, the commentaries explain, very simple. Rashi says this, there's a pasuk in Parshas Bechukesai, V'leisaki ha'aretz eschem, the earth literally means like this, the earth should not spit you up, vomit you up, b'tamachem eisa, when you impurify the land. Okay? Rashi says in Vayikra, Eretz Yisrael, because of the sanctity and holiness of the land, Eretz Yisrael is like a very sensitive stomach. Now, a person has a very sensitive stomach, if they eat coarse food, they throw up. A coarse stomach, you can eat whatever you want, nothing's going to happen. Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk says here, is a very refined, sensitive land. It can handle sin. It can handle sin. And therefore, if a person sins, Eretz Yisrael is going to throw them out. They're going to be exiled. Or as the Torah uses the expression, the earth is going to actually vomit you up. It's going to throw you up because the earth, Eretz Yisrael, cannot handle coarse land like that.
Can you believe they're having the gay parade in Jerusalem next year?
Oh. They had one in Tel Aviv, they had one...
No, they're having it in Jerusalem.
I was there last summer.
No, it was in Tel Aviv.
Last summer they had one in Jerusalem too, I was there.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't join the parade.
Oh,
no. Sorry. In fact, I left the city for that day. Okay, so now the Torah says like this. I will call heaven and earth. This is a very interesting pasuk. I'm calling the heaven and earth to testify before you. And Rashi says the same thing later in two parshas from now. In Parshas Hazinu, Hashem says, I'm calling the heaven and earth as witnesses of what I'm saying today. Because the only thing that will be around for the duration of the earth is the sun and the heaven and earth. Everybody else dies. So a thousand years from now, who's going to be a witness to what I'm telling you today? So God says, I'm calling the heaven and earth as witnesses. They're going to testify. And there's a din in Torah. When witnesses testify against the major crime that somebody did, that he gets capital punishment, the Torah says, Yad ha'edim tiyabo barishon el amisei. The witnesses are the first to kill him. They witness the act of the sin, they're the first ones to kill you. So Rashi says, this is what the Torah says. The heaven and earth is going to testify. What does it mean testify? They're going to be the witnesses. They're going to be the first to punish. If you sin, the rain will not come from the heaven. The earth will not produce. The witnesses are going to be the ones to punish first. If you do good, the heaven and earth are going to be the witnesses that you do good. What do you mean? They're going to be the ones to pay you. They're going to give rain and sustenance and abundance and earth. And that's why God picked the heaven and earth. They're always here.
So we supposed to think that earth and heaven are beings?
Should have beings. They're creations.
Yeah, but they're not alive.
They're alive.
They are.
Sure.
Yudas heaven is
alive. Not only do they have a big understanding of godliness, the Rambam writes. We say in our davening every day, the sun and the moon praise God, the stars praise God, they all praise God. They understand God. And they, you know what's unique about them? They never sin.
Wait a minute, they don't understand, they are God. What do you mean?
No, they're not God. You bow down to the sun, you're idol worshipping.
Right, I mean, if you start saying they're beings, then...
They're beings.
You know, people can start praying to them, which is...
No, that you're not allowed to. They're only an axe in the hand of the chopper. God is the boss, they're just doing their, you know, the chopper, the axe. You don't say thank you to the chopper, to the axe. But the sun, and the Medrash says this, the sun and the moon, God says to the Jews, why am I asking the sun and moon to testify? They're there 5,777 years ago. They never went against the will of God. They come up every day in the east and set in the west. Every day. Did they ever go against, one day did they ever rebel and say, you know what, I'm going to come up in the east and in the west and set in the east. They never do it.
But Hashem did stop the sun at one time.
Hashem stopped the sun?
Yeah.
Oh, Yeshua stopped the sun. Okay, so. By the way, the sun complained. The sun complained.
I know.
But God repaid what happened in Yaakov's dream.
Don't laugh, it's the truth.
No, in Yaakov's dream, the sun set early.
I know.
All right, but
so the Medrash says the sun came to God and said, you're stopping me from my work. I'm bowing to you, you stop me. God said, don't worry, I'll give you a little bit longer later on in history.
They don't have any hard emotion, feeling like a being.
How do you know?
Being.
How do you know?
They don't have free choice.
How do you know?
Only Jews have free choice.
How do you know? Are you the son that you would know that?
Yeah, he knows. He's the daughter.
Hey.
Okay. So therefore he says, the sun and the moon are going to testify. I'm giving you life and death. And then he adds two words. Bracha v'klala. Blessing and curses. Life is a blessing. Death is a curse. And then the Torah says, this pasi we're talking about the whole time. Ubacharta b'chaim. Okay? Choose life. Why? Leman tichya ata v'zarech, that you and your children will live. And Rashi comments, I mean, the commentators say over here, an interesting thing. The Torah stresses, choosing life is not only for yourself. You know, when Cain killed Hevel, the first murder in the Torah, the pasuk says, the bloods of your brother are calling out from the earth. So the question, what bloods? One blood, his blood. So Rashi said, no, you killed him, you killed his future children, and their children, and their children. You killed all generations. When a person does bad, if a person doesn't follow in the ways of Torah, so not only are they sinning, but their children won't grow up like them, and their children won't grow up like them, and their children won't grow up like them. So it's not only you. You're a multiple sinner. You're sinning for the public.
Why can't we speak positive about
this? This is very positive, by the way. The Torah says, choose life that you and your children should live.
But death is somewhat nicer because you're back to your Creator, no?
Death is not nicer. The Torah doesn't want us to live. To die, I mean. The Torah says, some people maybe you wouldn't mind, but God says, I want you to v'chai b'hem. Every second that the soul is in the body, by the way, even if it's a vegetative state, is a tremendous pleasure by God.
Even if
the soul is in the body, even though it can't do mitzvahs, it's a comatose, it's vegetative state, the fact that the soul is in the body, and the soul is alive, and the body is alive, it's a tremendous pleasure for God. And therefore, halacha says you desecrate Shabbos, even to extend the life, maybe even for a few minutes. The guy's dying anyway. Because every minute that the soul is in the body, we can't imagine, that some chassidic once said, the great pleasure God has by that.
By what?
The fact that a person is alive.
What is the pleasure?
God likes life. Life.
Of course, creation. That's why it's called creation and not destruction.
But like I said many times, my father used to say, in English it's life. The two middle letters of life are if. Very iffy. What's the Hebrew? It's Chaim. The two middle letters is Yud Yud, which is God's name. Torah life is godliness. Secular life is very iffy. Because we don't even know. We don't even know what we're doing. We don't know where we're going. If you don't have the guidance of Torah, you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going. You're dead.
Ignorance is bliss.
It doesn't always work, ignorance. For whom is ignorance bliss?
For those who don't know where they're going.
No, then they're really mixed up. And the worst thing, by the way, is a person who's sick and doesn't even know they're sick. Like I said many times, I never used to use the expression, somebody spits in your face, they're spitting in your face, and you say, look at this blessing of rain. That's, the person is so low, they don't even know that they're sick.
That's ignorance.
That's ignorance.
How could you blame these
individuals? I don't blame it. I blame us.
We're not raised in the...
Let me tell you. So whose fault is it?
The parents.
Our fault that we don't teach them.
But they're resistant.
Go after your neshama.
You're done? Oh, we just started.
Yeah, you just started.